The reading today is taken from John chapter 18, verses 28 to 40. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace, because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?"
"If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you."
Pilate said,
"Take him yourself and judge him by your own law."
"But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected.
This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?"
"Am I a Jew?"
Pilate replied.
"Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?"
Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place."
"You are king then,"
said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me."
"What is truth?"
retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said,
"I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?"
They shouted back,
"No, not him. Give us Barabbas."
Now Barabbas had taken part in the rebellion. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. As John Joe mentioned earlier, last few weeks we've been spending time looking at the other that Jesus is going to be glorified, the last couple of days of his life on earth. And we've looked at the theme of service, betrayal and denial, and today we explore the theme of royalty. Jesus, who teaches us to serve, who is betrayed and denied by his own, who is arrested and interrogated, who is ultimately crucified, is presented as the king. Now, what sort of a king is he? And what is the right way to respond to him? And those are the couple of questions I want to explore with you this morning. But first, let's meet the real king. Now, we don't have experience of raising kids, but when we visit some families with kids, we kind of wonder who really is the boss in the house. You have the parents, you have the grandparents, you have uncles and aunties, perhaps some older children, but then it doesn't take too long to kind of realize that the one who is calling the shots, the one who is running the place, is this 1 to 2 year old little child. The child tells the adults what to do. Things kind of happen when he or she wants, or the way they want, and the adults seems to have no control absolutely ever over this child. Probably that is familiar to you. Have you experienced that in your own life? But as we listen to these verses, we begin to wonder who really is the boss. Here we have some powerful people in this picture, right? We have the chief priest, the religious leaders, the temple guards, the Pharisees, and the law experts, they had the power to buy Judas's loyalty. They had the power to arrest and bind Jesus and interrogate him and bring false accusations to convene this unlawful meeting in the middle of the night and condemn a man. They had the power to demand death. Then we have the Roman governor, Pilate. Along with him, the centurion, his guards, the royal court officials. And Pilate had all the power of Rome behind him, right? All the power of the emperor behind him. He had the military power. Now, if you notice in verse 31, only Pilate had the power to execute a criminal. And in the midst of all these powerful people, do you see Jesus? All alone, betrayed by his own friends, bound by chains, and he is being led from one court to another, and now he's been handed over to the Roman governor. And you don't have to guess who is outnumbered and who is overpowered. But notice verse 32 if you have your Bibles. These words of John. It says, this took place to fulfill what Jesus had already said about the kind of death he was going to die. In a very subtle way, John reminds us neither the Jews nor Pilate had the power to execute Jesus. All this happened to fulfill what Jesus had said would happen. Everything that had happened this far and everything that would happen after this is part of God's plan. Death of Jesus on a cruel cross was not ultimately a Jewish or a Roman idea or a plan. It was God's plan. And you see, throughout the crucifixion, this whole passion narrative, Jesus is extremely calm, isn't he? Why? Because he was in control. He knew he was the boss. And in the midst of all these powerful people, they had kind of the power, the authority on paper, but Jesus is the one who is calling shots. He's the king, the real king, isn't he? But we still have a question, what sort of a king is he? Now, if you remember the 90s sitcom Friends, I mean, they have reruns going on Channel 10, Ross, he introduces himself as the doctor at a hospital. He says, I'm Dr. Ross Geller. And then Rachel says, well, Ross, please, this is a hospital, okay? That actually means something here. Now, Ross, he was a doctor, but he was not a medical doctor. He was a doctor of paleontology, which is kind of a study of dinosaurs and ancient life. Well, I guess this is what Pilate kind of was wondering, wasn't he? Now, you say you are a king. Now, this means something here on earth. This means something in my palace. What sort of a king are you? Where is your kingdom? Where is your army? Where is your palace? Have a look at verse 36. And Jesus plainly tells Pilate that politically, Jesus' kingdom is no threat to Rome. If his kingdom was political, Jesus would have had soldiers and an army defending him from arrest. And as anyone who would have been in the garden could testify, Jesus in fact rebuked Peter, one of his disciples, who took the sword and cut the guard's ear. And Jesus says, well, put your sword back. And the rest of his so-called friends abandoned him. And the Jewish leaders, they did not endorse Jesus as their king. And said they handed him over to be executed. He's not the king, the kind of king Pilate might have expected him to be. But at the same time, Jesus makes it clear that he is a king. But his kingdom is not of this world. It is a heavenly kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. Verse 37, Jesus indicates that he has been born, or he came into this world to be a king. But the way he establishes his kingdom is not by his military power or an army, but by bearing witness to the truth. The truth that he, Jesus, is the king of God's kingdom. God's sovereign rule is now operating in and through Jesus. And numerous times before this, Jesus has told that I and the Father are one. He has the same power and authority as God the Father. So as the King of God's kingdom, Jesus is the King who creates and sustains the whole universe. He is the king who has the power over Satan and all his demons, over darkness. He is the king who has power over sickness, over nature, over death. He is the king who can forgive sins. He is the king that one day we will all have to give account to. He is the king who would judge the living and the dead. And during his earthly life, everything Jesus did, his miracles, his teachings, the way he lived, were pointing to this single truth, that he is the king of God's kingdom. And there is none besides him, none to compare to him, none to surpass him. He is the king. And if he is the king, then that begs the question, isn't it? How should we respond to him? If he is what he calls himself to be, how should we respond to him? Now, if you ever get to visit the Queen of England, there are a few things that you should not do. You should never call her by her first name. You should not call her Lizzie or Lilibet, in that case, her nickname. You should never touch her, even if she's about to slip and fall. And you should never turn your back on Her Majesty. And there are a few other things that you should know. It is good to brush up, just in case you get invited to a dinner party with the Queen. Because it is a pretty serious matter, it seems. But in these verses, as you look, we are given three ways how we should not respond to the King, Jesus, the King of God's kingdom. First thing, don't leave the King out of your heart. Don't leave the King out of your heart. Now, if you read this trial, not just chapter 18, verses 18 to 40, but chapter 19 as well, Pilate does a lot of walking, right? Verse 29, Pilate comes out. Verse 33, Pilate goes back in. Verse 38, Pilate comes out again. Chapter 19, verse 1, Pilate goes back in again. Chapter 19, verse 4, he comes back out again. Now, his speedometer was just working overtime that day, right? Now, why did Pilate have to do all the walking? Now, look at verse 28. The Jews did not want to enter the Roman governor's palace because they did not want to be ceremonially unclean before eating the Passover meal. According to their customs, going into a pagan person's house would mean that they would become unclean. They would touch something unclean. They wouldn't be able to eat the Passover meal if that would happen. I wonder whether you see the irony here. They were really strict on keeping their outsides clean, observing the law to the final letter, but their hearts, they were far from God, weren't they? What were they doing? They were filled with jealousy, anger, envy, murder. They were plotting the death of an innocent man, Jesus. And this is what Isaiah 29, God had to say about these people. He said, these people come near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. And Jesus had these very famous, some harsh words in Matthew chapter 27, didn't he? It says, these people are like those who wash the outside of the dishes while the inside is dirty and unclean. Whitewashed tombs, he called them, beautiful on the outside, but full of dead bones and unclean stuff on the inside. And this is something that we must be careful of as well, isn't it? Outwardly, we might look holy, godly, we say the right thing, we do the right thing, we do all the religious things, we come to church, we help the poor, we serve in the church, we put tithes and offerings regularly, we sing songs so passionately, but in our hearts, if they are not surrendered to the King, if our hearts are not transformed, they are full of ungodly stuff, isn't it? Jealousy, greed, pride, envy, lust, hatred, selfishness. Our ambitions, our motives become impure. And sometimes all these outward performances can very easily become a cover-up, a facade that we use to cover up our dirty hearts. And we should allow the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts. Transform our hearts so that Jesus would become the King in our hearts. Because out of our hearts come everything, isn't it? Don't leave the King out of your hearts. And second thing is, don't ignore the truth about the King. Verse 33 to 38. No doubt Pilate had heard about Jesus, all his miracles, all the teachings, because he was the governor. And here we hear that he heard from the chief priests and the Jews that Jesus claimed himself to be a king. And he doesn't have to go any further. Jesus himself has testified what he had to say about himself. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent. Over and over and over again during the trial, Pilate says, "This man is innocent." Pilate heard the truth. He had the truth standing in front of him. Yet what does he do? Verse 38 and 39. He asks just the question, what is truth? But then what does he do next? That is the mind-boggling thing, isn't it? He doesn't wait for Jesus to answer the question. He turns around and goes out and does what he wants. He ignores the truth, doesn't he? He ignores the truth. Again, this is something that we must be careful of. We may know all the truths about God. We may have access to great sermons, great thick books, theological books. We may do our devotions every day morning as we wake up. We may know a whole lot of truths about Jesus, his promises. But we fail to listen. We fail to obey. We fail to live by the truths that we know. And we do our own thing. We may claim that God is everywhere, But we sin. We watch stuff that we shouldn't. Say things that we shouldn't. We do stuff that we shouldn't do. We claim that God is my fortress, but we fail to run and hide ourselves in Him. We fail to take refuge in Him in times of trouble. We claim that He knows the future, and yet we worry when our plans don't go to our way. We know that Jesus calls us to love one another, love our enemies, yet we don't. And friend, the tragedy is, it is absolutely a waste of time reading the Bible, going to the Bible studies, coming to church, listening to sermons, and if we ignore its truth. If it doesn't change a millimeter of our lives, if it doesn't transform the way you and I live from Monday to Sunday, it's a waste of time. It's like what James says in chapter 1, isn't it? It's like you wake up in the morning, you look at the mirror and you see, oh, there's something wrong in my hair. And then you are so concerned about that, you're so worried about that, but then you just walk out without doing anything about it. And there's no point if you leave this place this morning and go and do what Pilate did. Do your own thing. Verse 37, Jesus says, the one who is on the side of truth, the one who is on the side of Jesus, is the one who listens to the truth. Not just hear, you know, we can hear lots of sounds, but the one who listens to me. Listen to the King. Don't ignore the truth of the King. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, there are devastating consequences of not listening and doing what the King says, isn't it? Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who only does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus says, I will say, I don't know you. Don't ignore the truth about the King. If He is the King of God's kingdom, finally then, please, please, don't reject the King. Don't reject the King. This is what the Jews did, right? This is what the Jews did. Verse 39, Pilate declares Jesus to be innocent. And then he offers to release Jesus as per the Jewish custom, to release a prisoner. But what do? Who do they choose? They choose Barabbas, a criminal, someone who had been condemned to die. And by choosing Barabbas, they rejected Jesus, the King of God's kingdom. That's what it is, isn't it? That's what happens when we choose one, we reject the other. When we choose to marry one person, we reject everybody else. When we choose to worship something other than Jesus, we reject Jesus. And Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. We can try. We can try doing that. But it is impossible. We will choose one over the other. And His invitation is to choose Him, not anything else. We must choose. We must decide. And we must stick with Jesus. But as Peter says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. What does he mean by that? He says it is a dreadful thing to reject Jesus. Because by rejecting Jesus, we are rejecting God's King. Our only way to salvation. The only way of being friends with God. And if we reject such a great salvation, if we reject such a great King, there's no hope for us. Jesus is the King of God's kingdom. And the right way to respond to him is to surrender our hearts to him. Don't leave him out. To listen to his truth. Don't ignore his truth. To accept him, and not just accept him, but treat him as your king. Friends, in a moment we are going to take part in communion. And there is a time that we remember that Jesus, our king, he actually went onto a cross to die for us. But before we do that, we're going to spend a little bit of time just reflecting on what we've just heard. It might be a time that you want to be thankful that Jesus is our King. Perhaps there may be things that you might want to repent of, ways in which we have not treated him as a king. Perhaps it's a time for you to ask forgiveness from God this morning. So let's do that for a couple of minutes. Let's do that.